Okay, thank you. Good afternoon. What I'm going to present are data that correspond to a PhD thesis. The student is José Ignacio Ratalino Pedreira. Here is the mouse, who unfortunately could not be here, so I'm going to be in his place presenting his results. Why heat stress? Well, of course, as we all know, because in most tropical and subtropical areas, heat is a constraint to final grain yield, but also because from research on climate change, we also learned during the last years that we expect not only an increase in mean temperatures, but also an increase in the frequency of episodes of heat stress. So not only for the tropical and subtropical areas, but also in the temperate environments. So with this in mind, we started research more or less 5 years ago on heat stress in corn, and we started only with temperate germplasm, one temperate hybrid. From that research, what we learn? We learn several interesting things, especially when comparing with other type of abiotic stresses. Most part of this research can be fine for those interested in it, already published in a recent issue of Crop Science. This is the main author. What we learned, I was mentioning, first, in coincidence with some evidence presented by previous speakers, that there was a negative effect of heating on tissue expansion. When I say tissue expansion, that is plant height and leaf area index. But the magnitude of the stress, of the negative effects, was very small. And consequently, we found, for example, no negative effect on the capacity of the crop for light interception. Consequently, most part of the very large reduction that we observed under heat stress applied during the late vegetative period of corn, that is 15 days before anthesis, could be related, as mentioned previously, to the negative effects on photosynthesis that we address as radiation use efficiency. Another very important aspect that was of interest for us was that partitioning, another physiological determinant of final grain yield, the response of partitioning differ from that expected from other abiotic stresses. What we observed was that there was a negative effect on partitioning only when we applied heat stress during the late vegetative growth, but there was no effect at all when heat stress was applied during the period of silking of the population of plants. So, with this in mind, we continue our research and we expanded it today to hybrids of different genetic backgrounds. So we included a temperate, a tropical, and a temperate per tropical, which are new hybrids developed today for the subtropical areas in Argentina. So our overall general objective of current research is to analyze the response to heat stress around silking, late vegetative, and the silking period of the physiological determinants of kernel set, that is, light capture, biomass production, radiation use efficiency, and biomass partitioning, and also of the quantitative determinants of final kernel number, which are the number of florets per year and the number of exposed silks per year on these hybrids of contrasting genetic backgrounds. In this presentation, I am going to refer only to the quantitative determinants of final kernel number. Which are our treatments? Well, we conducted field experiments during the last two growing seasons. We have very contrasting seasons. The first was a Niña year, which in Argentina means very high irradiance, low rainfall, sunny skies. The second one was a Niño year, very cloudy skies, lots of rainfall. And treatments were a factorial combination of three growth stages, as mentioned here. Each growth stage is a 15-day period of heating or control temperatures, and those periods took place during the late vegetative growth, that is immediately before anthesis, during silk exposure, the silking period of the whole population of plants, and during active grain feeding. In this presentation, I am going to present data only of the first two growth stages. We combine the three hybrids I mentioned and two temperature regimes, which I describe as a control with no heating and heated. By heating, I expect more than 35 degrees. I will show you the overall pattern during the daylight period. How we perform this? First, we put all the growth stages of interest at the same time. For this, we have the main plots were planted at different times. First, we planted those that were going to be heated during grain filling, then those to be heated during the late vegetative period, and last, those to be heated during the silking period. Mm-hmm. That's why this is an overall figure of the temperature regime. All growth stages were taking place, 15-day period of stress, during the same time in the year, and this is the more or less the pattern of temperature for the heated plants in red and for the controls in black. And for heating, we develop a type of shelters. Here are the shelters that were assisted by heaters connected to a central unit that help us increase temperature to the levels that we wanted. I'm not going to give more details in case you include that in the questions. We measure all the physiological determinants of grain yield that I mentioned before, and also the quantitative determinants of kernel number, that is the number of exposed silks and the number of florets per year, and I'm going to present data on these traits. Let's go, I can go back to one slide. If I jump one slide, I can go back? We think so, okay, don't worry. Because I want to go to this. Okay, I want to go to this figure first. What do we have here? The uppermost figures correspond to the first experiment, the lowermost to the second experiment. On your right, those heated during the silking period. On your left, those heated during the late vegetative period. We have the three hybrids here. First, the temperate. Then the temperate per tropical, last the tropical, and for each hybrid, the control and the heated plants. The tallest bar, the number of florets. Let's go to the number of florets first. And to the second growth stage, because it is the simplest, no effect, because no effect, we expected no effect on this trait for heating applied during silking, because the number of florets is determined before silking. So we go well. Interestingly, when we apply heating during the late vegetative period, we found a significant negative effect of the treatment on the number of florets per year, but that effect was evident only for the hybrids with temperate background. In the tropical hybrid, there was no significant negative effect of heating on this trait, the number of florets. The second part, which was measured only in the second experiment, correspond to the number of silks, average number of silks of tag plants, 9 plants tag in each shelter. And the second bar, as I mentioned, correspond to the number of silks. As expected, for all conditions, the number of silks was smaller than the total number of florets. Mm-hmm. And for all treatments, again, the number of exposed silks was reduced for the heated plants with respect to their controls. And here I'm going to return to the previous slide and open that bar of silk number to show the overall pattern of silk emergence. And what I want to highlight here is that difference, the decrease in the number of exposed silks from heated plants was related almost completely to the plants, the delayed plants, the dominated plants in the population. Because when we refer the total number of exposed silks to the maximum number registered in the control plants of each hybrid, here the temperate, here the tropical, we observe that for most parts of the plants, they reach 80% silking. That means 80% of their florets reach silking, could be exposed to pollen. But in the delayed plants of the population, the decrease in the number of exposed silks was very drastic. Most of them, only 50% of the florets were able to expose their silks. Let's go back to the number of kernels then. Of course, the number of kernels was, for all treatments, smaller than the potential, that is the number of florets, and for all treatments, heating affected the number of kernels. The most important aspect here to highlight is that pollen was not an issue because we added fresh pollen to all exposed silks from plants from outside the tents, so nothing to do with the negative effects of pollen that we all know very well. And another important aspect of our research was that not only we have the effect of heating, decreasing the number of kernels, but there was a difference among hybrids in kernel set, that is, in the number of kernels set per each silk that was exposed. What we concluded from our research was that, and also that the negative effect of heating was larger when we heated during the period of silking than when we heated during the late vegetative period. So the period of silk emergence was the most sensitive to the negative effects of heat stress on kernel number determination. These negative effects were mostly due to kernel abortion, if we assume that pollen was fresh and was able to fertilize the ovary of exposed silks, because the number of fertile florets and exposed silks were less affected by heat stress. And kernel set, this is an important aspect, of the tropical hybrid was less affected by the negative effects of heat than hybrids with temperate background. And this is the list of participants of this research, and we all want to thank our funding agencies, which are the CONICET, the National Council of Research, the FONTAGRO, which is a Latin American and Spanish institution of funding of research, and the University of Buenos Aires. Thank you all. I repeat because we are supposed to repeat for recording. So the size of the shelters, the number of plants within the shelters. We cover four rows. Most part of our data were collected from the two central rows. And those four rows cover almost 2 meters in length. So we have 6 square meters, something like that, of surface cover. There was an important number of plants. We tagged the plants before starting the treatments, and we all the data of silks correspond to the tagged plants and the number of kernels. Those of florets, of course, correspond to other plants, and because we destroy the ears when we measure the number of florets early, R2, R1. I repeat the question. What is supposed to be behind the improved behavior of the tropical hybrid in respect to the others in kernel number and abortion? That is one of the important aspects of this research. We think we still have measurements to do on heat shock proteins, but in general, what we observe, you can check off the poster of Ratalino in the Pittsburgh meeting, where we put data on temperature of organs, radiation use efficiency, biomass production, and so on. The tropical hybrid has an improved performance of, at least in biomass production, so we suppose that radiation use efficiency is less affected in the tropical hybrid than in the rest of the hybrids. So and I complement your question. One very important issue is that in the case of heat stress, when it is not confounded with water stress, is that almost everything, as in previous presentations, goes through photosynthesis. So to stabilize the photosynthetic system is the issue, and I think that the genetic diversity is behind that.